Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, December 8th, the year of our Lord, 2024. This is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent blessings to you. It's always a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, but especially during this time of year, this season of Advent, our anticipation and our waiting. As we consider all that God has done for us, all that God is doing for us, and all that God has promised to do for us in the future. And so in this spirit of anticipation and hope and peace and love and joy, let's begin the way we begin around here by giving thanks to God and in doing so by taking in the breath of life and thanking God for the gift of life itself. So let's do just that. Let's take in that breath and hold on to it, savor it. It's the gift of life. You hold on to it and then you let it go, kind of like life itself. And as you breathe and you're mindful of the gift that is breath and life, call to mind specifically people and places and opportunities for which you are especially grateful. And as these things come to mind, thank God for each and every one of them. And maybe turn your face toward the sky. Open your arms wide. And with thoughts of thanksgiving and arms open wide, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the lighting of the second candle of the Advent season. Like last week, if you happen to have a candle handy, that scented candle that you keep on the coffee table or something that's convenient for you, you can go ahead and grab that and light it if you choose. You can always hit pause and grab a candle and come back. Otherwise, you can use your imagination and we can begin together. You can find this liturgy and the digital bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just down below the line of where you found today's podcast, it says Sermon Notes. Click in there and it will come up for you. Let's begin. Today we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of peace. As we light this candle, we remember that Christ brings peace into our lives and our world. We long for the peace of Christ. In Jesus, peace is found. Come, Lord Jesus, and bring your peace to our hearts and our homes. May your peace reign in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, and guide us in your peace. So we light this second candle of the season. Friends, our gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel in the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zebedee, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we give you thanks for the gift of your word, a living word, your word of hope and life and grace and beauty and truth and peace and love and joy. Help us, O God, to truly hear this, your good word. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could hear you and respond to you. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are together on the second Sunday in the season of Advent with its themes of peace. And I must confess to you right at this outset here, I am not in a preaching mood. I am in a mood where I could just sit quietly and look out the window all afternoon. I suppose that's a peaceful mood. Well, we're here together, and maybe we can sit with this gospel and maybe stare out the window together a little bit. I'm on the back porch of my house, and it's a sunny and chilly day here in Northwest Florida. I've got my dog with me, and I think he's asleep, so he won't notice the cat in the backyard. The Christmas tree's lit up. It's nice. And we have the stories of Luke's gospel to consider. This story that takes place in the third chapter. And maybe let's just read a little bit of it, consider it. And my hope is that maybe that will just get you started for an afternoon of doing a little reading and having a conversation with someone you love about these stories. So let's just look at, we're going to start right at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, all these great names, was ruler of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. This is one of those readings that I always feel bad for whomever is the liturgist on a Sunday morning, because you have these tongue twister names. But why are they there? Luke lays this out very specifically so that we would understand this story takes place at a particular time in a particular place in history. In the history of this region, in the history of this world. He's telling a true story. And I love the contrast here. Here are all these very powerful people that he names. Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, and the other big, big names in the region at the time. The big names in government, the big names in religious circles. And while all these people were doing their thing, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. What was John the ruler of? Nothing in a worldly sense, but he was the keeper. He was the harbinger, the keeper, the prophet, the teller of the promise. He was the initiator. He was the one come to prepare the way for the Messiah. I'd imagine many of you are familiar with the story of John's birth. John, too, like his cousin Jesus, is a miracle baby. From the moment Zechariah gets word that his wife Elizabeth will have a child, and that seems absolutely ridiculous to them. They're well beyond childbearing years. But all things are possible with God. And as Luke will remind us time and time again, it's true. What I'm telling you is true. And in the midst of all this imagined wealth and power. Out in the wilderness is this John, and he's doing God's work. The word of God comes to him in the wilderness. And how does John respond to it? He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. Think about this. There's just one man, no pedigree, no real connections, but he has received, undeniably received, the word of God. That history is going to change, that a new moment is happening. This prophecy that any faithful Jew would know, the words of the prophet Isaiah were coming to pass, and he was the one chosen to usher them in. And what are these words? The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John goes on a preaching tour. Just one guy. There's no advance team. There's no advertising campaign. There's no social media promotion. He goes to a street corner, finds himself in various public places. He simply stands there and speaks. And to the point where his ministry, when he's out in the wilderness, and people have to go, they have to inconvenience themselves and make the trip to go meet John out in the wilderness to hear this message of repentance. And a movement starts. People want this. Why? Again, because it's true. Because deep in the heart of every human being is a desire for peace, and a desire for relationship, and a sense of meaning and purpose and direction that can really only be filled in a relationship with God. And a few people went out. I'd imagine they went out and they received this baptism. And they went back into town and they told others about it and said something like, "This is going to sound crazy, but remember that guy that was preaching over at the corner of 5th and Vine? Remember him? I went out and I was baptized by him, and I have to tell you, I have never had more peace. I have never been more hopeful about living. I have never felt so much joy or love than I have right in this moment. I came out of the water and it was as if I was a new person. I really want you to go hear him preach. I really want you to receive this baptism. It's like nothing you've ever experienced before." And person by person, testimony by testimony, people came to that river. And what happened? Well, what happened was what Isaiah said would happen, that the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, this one would prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. "And every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked are made straight." What happened? Those who imagine themselves to be high and above it all, they were brought into a level place where they could see and experience and live out the love of God. Those who had found themselves low and in the valley, wondering if despair was the only way to live, that life was just purely miserable and hard, they were lifted up. They were prepared. Their hearts and their minds were prepared for the one who was to come. The one who would come and be baptized in the same water they were baptized in. The one who would come and love them and bring them peace. A peace that would come through this a sense of reconciliation, a relationship made right. Simply for the asking, for the baptism and the casting off of the things that held them down and kept them from this relationship. A sense of peace that made them feel whole. A sense of peace that made them want others to have what they had. I think that's one of the greatest evangelical witnesses that we can do is once you have this peace, you just want to give it away. You want other people to want it the same way you do. That's what Luke's getting to here. It's just the beginning of this story. And I can't think of a better way to spend a day than maybe get out your Bible and open Luke's gospel. And in the midst of the seasonal music and the busyness, or maybe if you're on the mountaintop, let's use the Isaiah language, if you're feeling it like on the mountaintop and things are busy and humming along, but you need to settle things down, or maybe this season has you struck low, invite the presence of God. Celebrate this true story that Luke is telling. If you're feeling a little bent out of shape, a little crooked, it's a story that can align you. If you feel like you're singing a bit out of tune, it is a story that will help you sing in harmony with the song that God is singing. It's a story that can bring us peace. The story that begins here with God coming to a simple man out in the wilderness, a man without any earthly power. God speaks truth to his heart, and he shares that truth with the world and makes way for others to connect with the truth. It's a promise that he begins in John, and it's a promise that continues in our lives, that we too, in our own ways, in our workplaces, and in our homes, and in our neighborhoods, in our vocations and callings, great or small, the voice of God crying out in the wilderness, in the parking lot, at the grocery store, in your cubicle, in your tea, in your book discussion group, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It is such good news. Peace. Peace be with you. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Isaiah and John the Baptizer, and our God, we call out to you and we confess that there are so many ways that our lives have become crooked, that we've fallen short, we've said things we regret, and there are things we regret not saying. we've sinned. But we come before you and we pray to you. We want to receive the promises of our faith. We want to receive the truth of the story that Luke is telling us. And when we come to you, when we seek to be reconciled with you, you forgive us and you persist in loving us and you bid us your peace. And we are so very thankful. It's overwhelming, really. We are indeed undeserving, but you love us anyway. And so with all of this in our hearts, in our minds, and the peace that it brings us, we come to you, God, and we pray. We pray over this good world you've created. We give you thanks for the beauty of the earth. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of life and love and family. We pray, O God, for the powerful people in the world, those whom you've granted power. We pray that you will soften their hearts, that you'll speak to them, God, with a message of grace and peace, that they would seek your wisdom before they make any decisions. And there are those of us, O God, who feel like we are just crying out in the wilderness. Sometimes we wonder about the meaning and the purpose and the direction of our lives. We pray, O God, draw close to us. Remind us that we are yours and that we are beloved and cared for. Help us to love one another the way you love us. We pray, dear God, as we recognize this season of waiting and remembering who you are and what you've done and what you promise, fill us with expectation. Help us to see the miracles around us. And you know us quite well, each and every one of us. And so we take a moment to share with you the prayers, the joys and the concerns and the confessions of our hearts. God, meet us here as we make quiet space to share our prayer lists with you and to listen for your voice. And we break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate together a prayer that you taught us. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we do so filled with the truth of God, the truth of the Gospels. And that in that truth, we will find peace with God, our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.